a little different for us, but so we're all going to have to speak up a little bit to hear one another and for Susan's recorder to pick up all the voices and hear what's going on. So we'll call the meeting to order. Everybody has a package in front of them with the minutes and the agenda. And I'm sure everybody's reviewed that. So if there's no changes to the agenda, just need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the same with the minutes. Our last meeting was back in January of 2020. Seems like a long time. Seems like a different world. It was a different world, of course.
It is a different world.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago. But if you, we had a different airport manager, too. So a lot's changed since January 2020.
Yeah.
We had another one in between.
I'm sorry?
We had another one in between.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. We had an interim. That's right. A lot of changes. So if there's no changes to the minutes, we just need a motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I'll turn the agenda over to Todd, who's going to introduce our new airport manager.
Okay, thanks, Garrett. Good evening, everyone. It seems like forever since this group's gathered. So I'm glad we're able to do it, and thank you for hosting, Garrett. And it's kind of apropos to be in a hangar for the airport meeting. It actually is really cool. So we'll get started with handing over to Bob. As everyone knows, Eric's quick departure back to Wallops Island, we wish him well, meant an opportunity for us to go out and find a new airport manager, and we were very lucky to have Bob join us. It's been a while since he actually was announced and hired, so he's already in the mix and started on day one getting into understanding what's going on at our Bristol Airport. Bob comes from Salisbury, and several years of experience running general aviation down there. So we're very lucky to have him. And so far, everything's working out great. And it's, believe it or not, it's really hard to find an airport manager to come in and do the job and actually be qualified to do the job and to have one regionally ready and able to jump in. We're very lucky to get someone of this caliber. So with that, we'll hand it over. I know you've got a little presentation, then we'll get back to the agenda.
Great, yeah, thank you. And Garrett, thank you again for setting all this up. This has been fabulous. Susan has just been wonderful in giving me a little bit of insight to the airport advisory board, the things that you guys talk about. We may touch on some of that this evening, but what I really wanted to do was to have an opportunity to meet you guys. Become familiar with the tenants and users at the airport. Please forgive me if I forget your names. Some of you have familiar faces that I've met already. Others, I still have to meet. What I'm trying to do is whenever I see a hangar open or anything like that, I'll go in, I'll introduce myself. Everyone has been gracious and welcoming, and I want to thank you all for that. What I wanted to do this evening was to give you a little bit of background of my experience in airport management. What I've done in my career, and then we can go ahead and go into some of the airport updates. If you, again, as Todd had mentioned, and I know that some of you are aware, I was airport manager in Wicomico County for 23 years, managing the Salisbury Ocean City Wicomico Regional Airport. I got my start in airport management in an entry-level position as an airport operations supervisor at the New Orleans International Airport back in the crazy 80s when living in New Orleans was a fun time for a young 20-year-old at that time. That's me right there, and a lot of the operations supervisors that we had at that time, we were all young, right out of college, basically. A couple of those people in that picture are still there. This woman right here is married to my former boss when I was employed with GCR, so we were a real close knit group. Loved New Orleans, loved the large Part 139 airport environment, and if you're not familiar with Federal Aviation Regulation Part 139, it's essentially the document that dictates by the FAA how airports with scheduled airline service
are going to be operated and how they're maintained. And my entire 30-year career in airport management up until now has all been at Part 139 airports with scheduled airline service. Spent 2 years in New Orleans. Again, I loved it, but wasn't too thrilled about being a small fish in a big pond. I wanted to become an airport manager. So in 1988, I was hired by the city of Morgantown to manage the Morgantown Municipal Airport, another Part 139 airport, but at the total opposite scale of New Orleans International. We had more general aviation traffic in Morgantown than we had air carrier activity. Loved it there, was there for 5.5 years, made a few mistakes, which was the perfect place to be able to learn the career of airport management. Met my wife there, Lisa, my wife, is born and raised in Morgantown, and it's nice to be able to get back there every once in a while. My ultimate goal in airport management, I'm originally from the Chicago area. My dad worked for United Airlines. I was an airline brat. We flew back home to visit family on both sides, my mom and dad, who live in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. So the airline industry, the airport industry, I was introduced to basically while I was being carried onto an airplane. And as I got older, the airport environment, particularly at O'Hare, just fascinated me. And my ultimate career goal was to one day return to be the airport manager at O'Hare International Airport. Thank God a cleaner head prevailed. And then in 1993, the position for airport manager in Salisbury was open. I applied for it, expecting to be there only, you know, less than 10 years. 23 years later, actually 27 years later, Lisa and I are still there. Salisbury was a home for us. The Delmarva Peninsula became a home for us. We loved the beach. Had a great career in Wicomico County. And then, a little bit more of what I did in Wicomico County. Some of you might be familiar with some of the projects that we did down there. Over the 23 years that I was there, we invested over $60 million in Federal Aviation Administration, Maryland Aviation Administration, and also passenger facility charges and capital improvement plans. I've been involved in everything with capital improvement, everything from basic rehabilitation of pavement to complete reconstruction, runway extensions, land acquisition, relocation assistance with residential properties and also with businesses, environmental cleanup, some of that hazmat cleanup, which wasn't much fun when we were dealing with that. We essentially rebuilt the entire airfield while I was there, with the exception of a couple of taxiways and some of the non-AIP eligible infrastructure that's on the airport. Non-AIP capital improvements are things like T-hangers, hangar construction, private use portions of terminal buildings, general landscaping, things like that that are not eligible for FAA grants are usually found through either the airport operating budget, general fund support, bonds, if you're willing to, if your airport sponsor is willing to risk funding airport capital improvements with bonds. But over the 23 years, we invested about $3 million into non-AIP eligible improvements. We took an old terminal building, converted that to a business incubator. We pumped about $1 million into the Wicomico County-owned Piedmont Airline Complex. And we did some improvements on Bayland Aviation's terminal building. The whole 23 years that I was in Salisbury, we were an enterprise department within Wicomico County. We were a true enterprise department. The only revenue sources that I had available to me in meeting my annual operating budgets were rents and fees that we imposed upon the tenants and the users at the airport. We received no assistance from the Wicomico County General Fund. So by the time that I spread our annual revenues over a 76 line item expense budget, there wasn't a whole lot of money left to be able to invest into non-AIP capital improvements. The environment that I'm in right now is a little unusual to me, simply because I understand that Sussex County may consider not investing into non-AIP eligible projects. So that's a welcome surprise for me. In addition to being airport manager, I was a instructor at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore for 20 years. I taught their airport management and airport planning class. Looked great on a resume, actually worked well with the company that I just left to accept this job. Bachelor of Science degree from the Southern Illinois University in their School of Technical Careers with an emphasis on airline and airport management. I'm an accredited airport executive with the American Association of Airport, with the American Association of Airport Executives. I do hold a private pilot license. It's not current. A little over 300 hours. Fly purely for recreational purposes, and do want to get my currency reactivated. October of 2016, I got a telephone call from an old roommate of mine when he and I were airport operations supervisors in New Orleans. Wanted to know if I'd be interested working for a company, GCR Incorporated. They are a computer software development company that works in the public side of the industry. We created software for airports. We created software for civic groups, nuclear power industry, and we also consulted our clients on how to implement the software into their day-to-day operations for airports and the likes of those companies. I accepted the job. And on November 5th, 2016, when I turned 55 years old, the very next day I submitted my retirement application to Bob Culver, the county executive in Wicomico County, took advantage of early retirement from the county, and started working for GCR as the product manager for their airport IQ systems manager product. Basically, that product is used by state aviation agencies to manage their capital improvement programs, their aircraft registration programs, if they have it, obstruction analysis, and also FAA-mandated airport inspections. During that same time, I was also an assistant project manager working with GCR's Federal Aviation Services. We were a contractor to the Federal Aviation Administration and basically ran on behalf, or operated on behalf of the FAA, their airport data information program. If you're familiar with airport master records, or what the 5010 form is, it's basically an inventory of all the assets that are found at every airport recognized by the Federal Aviation Administration. These include public airports, they include private airports, ultralight airfields, heliports, the likes. What we did is we provided training to, interestingly, FAA airport inspectors and state airport inspectors on how to properly inspect airports, how to manage the 105 data elements that are found in a typical
50-10 form, and we also provided on-airfield inspection and obstruction analysis, and this was a lot of fun. Involved a lot of travel. We provided four training courses every year, and that was a fun program. We also were involved in the National Private Airport Data Survey. That was an eye-opener. There's approximately 12,000 plus privately owned airports in the country. They all have their own 5010 form. And what I was tasked to do was every year over a three-year period, we would divide those 12,000 airports into thirds, and we would send out surveys to the airport manager. We would also include a copy of their 5010 form, and if any updates needed to be done, they would mark up the form, send it back to us. If we never heard back from the airport manager, we figured that the address that was on the 5010 form was still accurate. My responsibility was to examine all of the undeliverable surveys that we sent. And I was tasked to use whatever sources were necessary, Google Maps, property acquisition documents, obituaries, to try to find out if the airport still existed. And what I often found out was to develop an airport or to establish an airport requires that the property owners submit an FAA form 7480. If you want to decommission the airport, you're required to submit the same form and just check the decommission box. So it's easy to create an airport. It's almost impossible to get anybody to decommission an airport. And often what we found were property owners had sold the property, haven't lived on the property where the private airport was located for years. In many instances, property owners passed away, and surviving family members had no idea that you should decommission this airport. If you look at your next sectional chart, those little airports with the circle and the R in the middle, I'll bet you 10% of those airports don't exist today. And it might even be as much as 20%, because that's what we were finding with this National Private Airport Data Survey. I was also, had I stayed with GCR, I was going to be assigned as the product manager for the Part 139 Certification and Compliance Management Information System. Believe it or not, the FAA still uses three-ring binders with individual sheets of paper and a little rubber stamp with their signature on it to create the airport certification manual, which every Part 139 airport is required to have. We were contracted by the FAA to digitize that program, and had I have stuck around with my background in Part 139 airport operations, I was supposed to inherit that program. And we also were responsible for the National-Based Aircraft Inventory Program. That's a GCR product managed and operated by GCR. Basically, what that does is that identifies the number of base aircraft that are found at 2,900 plus general aviation airports that are in the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems, which makes them eligible to receive AIP grants from the FAA. Of course, this airport is one of those. This showed some trends in the number of base aircraft that are recorded at those 2,900 airports, and that may be a topic that we'll want to discuss at a later time. But that was my background in with GCR, and my battery has just died on this, which is depressing because I had a bunch of slides for the airport update also. That's pretty much my background. It's been a great career, but I'll say that my employment with GCR offered me the opportunity to work from home,
And I quickly learned that working, that I did not enjoy working from home. It was a difficult adjustment for me. It was sometimes difficult to get motivated in the morning, difficult to stay motivated in the evenings. So when this opportunity came up for this position, I applied for it, and here I am. So it's great to be back in the airport environment. It's where I thrive. I thrive in an office environment. I don't thrive working at the dining room table at home. When things may overwhelm me in the office, there's always something out on the airfield to do. So again, I'm thrilled to be here. And I think together with your help, with the help from Sussex County, we'll be able to do some of the things that we would like to do at this airport. We'll pursue opportunities, and we'll see where that may lead us in the years to come. So that's my background. Again, thank you all. Any questions or anything about that before we move in? Yeah, Larry.
Just one thing, Bob. You know, your background is all Part 139.
Correct.
The air traffic.
Yep.
We will never be that.
Nope,
we
never will.
We are a general aviation airport. So right. I don't know, you're new to this whole environment. You got, you know, we're all general aviation around here. We don't have a control tower. And probably never will have the traffic to have a control tower. But maybe by the time we all get back together, maybe you can, as you immerse yourself in this new world, you know, give us some ideas of what you see that you can do to help us expand businesses here at this airport, expand the general aviation at this airport, and help this airport grow. We've had, you know, I was here for a number of years, and it was stagnant, I guess. Mm-hmm. Would you not sort of agree with that? Rick, you guys have been around for a while. It was stagnant. And then when the county really began to realize the asset value of this airport and began to invest time and money and interest and development and new master plan and on and on and on, you know, when Jim Hicken came on board, it began to really become, you know, a new place.
Right.
And a new vision. And there's a lot of stuff on the market, you know, that Todd is bringing in. There's a lot of background, you know, on the airport. So maybe by the next time we get together, you give us a little idea of what kind of a vision that all this experience that you just outlined here, which is impressive, but what can you do to help us grow this airport, grow the business of the airport, and grow, you know, general aviation here at the airport, and PATS, which is a major employer in Sussex County. So
right.
I'd look forward to hearing some of that by next time we all get together.
Yeah. I want to put together a strategic plan for the airport. I mean, everybody puts together plans, but I do need to begin to target activities, potential business leads, clients, and as you said, develop the airport. No, yeah, my whole background is managing an airport that was subject to strict compliance to Federal Aviation Regulation Part 139, but we also had a lot of general aviation at Salisbury also. My last 2 years in Salisbury were not as much fun as my first 21 years. Bob Culver, the county executive at that time, decided that he wanted to become more involved in the day-to-day operations of the airport, which was great. I worked great with Bob Culver. But what he did was he took the Historic Airport Commission, who had a lot of authority and a lot of power, dissolved that, selected a whole new bunch of airport commissioners who had passion, some big dreams on what they wanted to achieve at the airport, and money was no object. Well, money is an object, especially when you don't have it. And we didn't have a whole lot of money in Salisbury. that was another reason why it was kind of easy for me to take advantage of early retirement and go work for GCR. And of course, Don Veach followed me into that position of airport manager. And she came in with afterburners lit, man. She had a lot of ideas, a lot of passion, but reality kind of hit where things aren't going to necessarily happen overnight. We do need to put together a strategic plan. We do need to look at opportunities. I think my being able to work with Sussex County Economic Development and Bill, to work with Hans in the engineering department, and certainly with Todd, we can put something together and we can, you know, begin to go out and target those type of activities, tenants, industry that we would like to have here, and you know, I'll be able to present a plan the next time that we meet, or at least a draft plan.
If you don't have money, you find people who do, who's willing to invest and help you do it with their money.
True, but a little easier said than done.
I know, it's a very easy thing said.
Yeah.
we have that. The one hand that's currently under construction, and Bob and I will revisit the last RFP where we attempted to get another one of that size, and now we're going to try to do it with two, maybe of the size we have here. Mm-hmm. And you know, like that, we have two leases which are expired, so there's good opportunity. We're working on the RFP right now.
Yep. So I'll put a draft together and I'll share it with everybody at our next meeting, and we'll start.
We've got a tremendous amount of people around here with long backgrounds in aviation.
Oh yeah.
Me, I've been flying general aviation airplanes for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. Jeff, Rick, Garrett, you know, look around the room, there's a tremendous amount of experience, Gus Pearl, et cetera. So, you know, don't be bashful.
Not at all.
We all work to try to grow, because we've all been, you know, the whole forming of this airport advisory board is designed around that idea, getting involved, getting the experience at this airport involved in, you know, helping the whole county turn this airport into something.
Right.
Making it good.
Right. Oh, yeah. And again, you know, that's what I had mentioned earlier. You know, I'm kind of in an unusual environment from what I've been familiar with. You know, when I was, again, in Wicomico County, I was told, Bob, you can do whatever you want at the airport as long as the airport can pay for it. Well, the fact is, an airport really doesn't pay for anything. How the airport generates money is we impose rents and fees on our tenants and users. We take their money, and then we take the money from them, and then we give them that money to somebody else to be able to, you know, build something or pay for something. Rents and fees are a touchy subject. And that's when you begin to look for other sources to pay for stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to identify those. I must have been told 100 times when I was in Wicomico County, there's grants out there that'll pay for this kind of stuff. Well, not for everything. If grants paid for the construction of T-hangers, nobody would have to use bonds to be able to pay, or the airport sponsors wouldn't have to use bonds to be able to pay for that kind of stuff. So we'll search around, we'll see what we've got out there, we'll put a plan together.
There's also classic expansions like at St. Mary's County Airport. You can go over there and look at the massive number of T-hangers.
Mm-hmm.
They were all private investors.
Very true.
The county did not build
right. That
whole massive complex.
Yep.
T-hangers.
Yep.
A bunch of local pilots got together, went to the county, put together a formula, and started building T-hangers. The county never had to invest anything. And now the county owns a number of them.
Yeah.
But the same group still manages them.
Hmm.
So, you know, there are ways to grow it.
Yep.
But, you know, another thing is also, you know, emphasizing to the public, an airport is never rarely going to pay its own way. But it is an integral part of the both emergency and transportation infrastructure of a community of Sussex County. This is the only airport in Sussex County of any size. 9/11 sure showed that. Look what happened here at this airport right after 9/11 attacks. You know, you see the importance of the emergency use of the airport, but, you know, the highways out here don't generate revenue. They don't pay for themselves. How much income do we get off of US 113? Nothing. Put a ton of money into it. It's part of the transportation infrastructure and your emergency.
Well, the county doesn't put any money in the road.
What's that?
I don't think the county puts any money in 113.
Well, it's just, okay, what about any of the other
county
reporting? But the idea is the same thing. Jeff, you come from that environment.
I was going to say, I think Larry's point is, you know, we don't know that the airport's going to make money off of leases and be able to pay and be able to be equal. You got to, from what conversations we've had in the past with several people in here, you also have to look at the economic impact. And what, you know, when you see the Walt Disney jet sitting out here because there's a court case and Walt Disney's in here, mm-hmm. and people are using hotels and restaurants and everything else. So there's a lot of economics that this facility generates that a lot of times is forgotten.
But I think this group, you're preaching the choir, this group.
Yeah.
Part of the job of the airport manager is helping and assisting with the whole public, the whole community, to understand. There's people living in this town don't know there's an airport here.
We had the same problem in Wicomico County.
I didn't even know there was an airport here.
Yep.
So the only reason I bring that up is part of, you know, of helping the whole community understand the importance of the airport. And when the community understands it and appreciates it, makes your job a whole lot easier than when y'all want to try to do a project.
Yep.
Well, I think that's why bringing in someone with decades of experience, you know, versus somebody who has not managed an airport before, but someone with Bob's credentials. I mean, he knows all this stuff, and I think he's going to be a great advocate and ambassador for the airport. So that's item four.
Yep.
We're going to move on to item five, which is the wildlife management update. Bob, you got something for us?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of bits of information. Like I said, unfortunately, my PowerPoint died because I had a slide on this also. Wildlife management, I've had the opportunity, obviously, to tour the airport. I have heard about deer issues in the past. I'll mention that we do know that there are two deer on the airport right now. We are working with... We are working to resolve that issue. The deer permit that's been issued by the Delaware Department of Environment through the Delaware Department of Natural Resources, is current. The migratory bird depredation permit is not current. And you need one of those to legally harass geese and to properly deal with them. We're in the process of updating that depredation permit, and hopefully the U.S. Department of Interior, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, will get us that permit hopefully within the month. There's really not much more to put on here about wildlife. We obviously have a bunch of geese on the airport. That's not uncommon. Seagulls are typically on the airport also. I generally do about two or three airport inspections a year in any a day and any opportunity that I have to harass any of those migratory birds. We take care of that. I don't know. Any other thing about wildlife? Anybody have another question,
deer's
observation?
Deer's probably going to increase with the picking of fields, corn, and everything coming off. You're probably going to see an increase in deer.
Sure. Well, it's funny. You know, that field that's just outside, I guess it would be north of the airport. Man, it's amazing how many deer you see in that field. It's the one right off the end of this road
and
right here.
When deer season comes, they get really spooked. That'll be a big problem then, too. So Delaware is big on deer hunting.
Well,
I would say that the last couple of years we've made a lot of progress.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We had probably 20 better deer on the circuit.
Yeah.
Just a couple of years ago, we plugged holes, access points in the perimeter, and chased a lot of them out. So
yeah, I could never figure out how
here got on the airport down in Salisbury. We had a perimeter fence around the airport also just like this, but you'd think you got rid of all of them and all of a sudden one would pop up and then one turns into two. So
I've seen them jump an 8-foot fence.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
But Cambridge had a unique situation. Paul Neuer had a permit over there. He had 30-06 with a silencer that took care of the deer problem.
Right.
The meat went to the food bank. It was all perfectly legal. I'm not saying that as a joke. That was illegal because deer on an airport is an expert. Ask what's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys? Jerry Jones. Ask him about his jet down at Troy, Alabama. They hit a deer. Airport left a parted runway, gear collapsed, caught on fire. A couple of good old boys with axes saved the pilots by cutting them out of the airplane with their axes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a deer strike.
Yep.
Easton has had deer strikes, took out the nose gear in a couple of airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I can tell you the 23 years I was airport manager in Salisbury, I could probably count on one hand the number of times I bought store-bought ground beef. Because everything else was venison. My kids grew up on venison.
But I think, Bob, a lot of people probably in the committee and the public don't have any clue. If that airplane right there hit a deer, you know, it's probably $100,000 to $200,000 worth of damage.
Oh, easily.
Minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a few deer strikes in Salisbury.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gets expensive real quick.
And as part of this wildlife management update, I saw a bald eagle sitting on top of the terminal building last week.
Yep.
I know. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Is he a regular now, or is he?
Let's hope not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't seen one here in a long, long time. So.
Yeah, let's hope not, because you need a separate permit to be able to harass bald eagles,
and you need
an act of God to be able to.
I would think.
Destroy a nest or do anything beyond that.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else?
There was an eagle down in Salisbury for a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
I remember seeing him.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you where the nests are.
Yep. Anything else on item 5 for Bob?
Item 5.
Which is wildlife management. Okay, we can move on to item 6, Bob.
Okay, I wish I had my slides presentation here. Runway 1028. LTA approaches were, or I'm sorry, LNAV approaches. And LPV approaches were identified for runway 1028. The Federal Aviation Administration has that information. They've already conducted their surveys for the two approaches. In an email that I received last week from the Federal Aviation Administration, all that information has been channeled to Air Traffic Division, and we're hoping to have two LPV approaches into each end of runway 1028, I'd say probably in about 3 months or so. As a part of the runway 1028 project, the taxiway Delta, the parallel project, has reached the point of substantial completion, according to the FAA, which is 95% of the project is completed.
That's the ice machine, okay?
Nothing
to be, the building's not falling down. Okay. Just our ice machine.
The contractor, the lighting contractor, ADB, on that project is actually here at the airport this week, updating the lighting control panel that's in the electrical vaults. We're hoping that we're gonna be able to close that project out within the next 2 to 3 months also. The airport master plan, item B, the draft number one of the airport master plan has been completed. Draft number one includes the chapters that identify the history of the airport, the inventory, what's at the airport right now. It's also looking at forecasts for aircraft activity, instrument approaches, based aircraft, and is projecting those forecasts out through the next 20 years. I know that an airport master plan typically takes anywhere between 2 to hopefully no more than 3 years to complete. So this plan is really at its infancy right now. And that plan is also going to be critical for us to be able to use, along with the Federal Aviation Administration, when we put together our airport capital improvement plans for AIP funding for those projects with the FAA. Item D, expansion of the general aviation ramp. We have received a grant from the Federal Aviation Administration. I think the dollar amount is somewhere around $300,000 for the design of that project. The GA, the expansion of the GA apron is going to basically be located on taxiway Alpha on the north side of taxiway Bravo. Really right across the street from, or right across the taxiway from the Dell Tech hangar. That project, we're still working with our engineering consulting firm, Delta Airport Consultants, in determining what the dimensions of the apron are going to be, what the load-bearing capacity of that is going to be. And at the design phase, again, that project is in its infancy. The extension of the runway 422 project, I had a meeting with DelDOT about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They have given the green light on the relocation of Route 9. That's going to be a two-phased project. In fact, you can actually go on DelDOT's webpage and pull up that information.
Park Avenue.
I'm sorry?
Park Avenue.
Park Avenue, I'm sorry. Okay, Park Avenue, that's it. Yep. Yeah, the phase one, which is supposed to begin in the spring of 2021, is gonna take that stretch of Park Avenue that crosses our runway four extended runway safety area and runway protection zone. Once that road is relocated, that's gonna open up the opportunity for us to be able to work with the Federal Aviation Administration and begin to pursue the extension of that runway. I do know that from my experience with a runway extension in Salisbury, the FAA has steps that you have to walk through in order to inevitably reach that opportunity to where you can actually begin to, you know, construct the runway itself. I know the FAA is going to want us to look at environmental issues, obstructions, and usually paving is the last grant that you receive whenever you want to do any runway extension project. Give you an idea. We actually began in Wicomico County, it was 2002 when the Airport Commission gave the green light to pursue our runway extension, 900-foot extension on our runway 32. It wasn't until 2012 when the project finally ended. And during that period, we had to mitigate 50 acres of wetlands. We had to acquire and relocate Chesapeake Airways. Some of you might remember them. They were the gentleman, that was the facility that had all the old aircraft parts. We ran into environmental issues with that. That also had to be cleaned up. Mitigation of the wetlands actually took us 2 years to find a suitable site to be able to mitigate those wetlands. Had a reimbursable agreement with the FAA to relocate the approach lights and the glide slope. That took about 2 years to complete that. First phase of the runway extension was actually the runway itself, followed by a second phase, which was the parallel taxiway. Took us 10 years to complete that project from start to finish. So, you know, again, runway extensions don't happen overnight, but they do occur. You just have to follow the FAA guidelines to make all that happen. Folks, that's all I have. Again, I want to thank you all. I love the opportunity to be able to do this. We didn't have that opportunity that often in Wicomico County. Some of that was led by individuals who had more authority than I had in what they felt was necessary for the tenants and publics to be aware of what was going on at the airport.
I understand that that's totally different here. And again, thank you all. If you got any questions on the, on any of the airport updates, you know, give me a shout or whatever. My office is always open. Poke your head in at any time. Next time I see you guys out on the ramp, I'll stop by and say hello. That's all I have. That's all I have.
Okay. Any further comments from the committee members on item six before we move on? All right. Item seven is our public comments. We have two members of the public today. Anybody, any comments or anything you guys want to bring up? Okay. That just moves us to the last item, which is our next meeting date.
I guess I've got one item, Garrett. Okay. If I understand correctly, membership or committee members serve 1 year?
1 year.
Or is it a rotate? Is it a staggered period? I think we've got some expired. A couple of members that are going to expire at the end of this year. If anybody's interested,
all of us.
Yeah, I tell you what. If anyone's interested in continuing to serve, you know, give me a shout, or I'll just assume that you all are willing to continue to serve.
Yeah,
so
I think it used to be with a negative confirmation. If you do not wish to serve, send an email. If you're otherwise, it's assumed that you will be re-upped for another term.
That's cool.
All right. At the last meeting, way back in previous lifetime, we made a, and if you look at your minutes, on item six, it talks about the meeting schedule, about meetings in January, April, September, and December. And I was going to suggest, and the reason we did that was to go, we were doing an every other month schedule, we want to do a quarterly schedule, which is what's in the comment, or in the notes that under item six. I was going to suggest, instead of stipulating the month that we meet, if we just agree that we're going to meet in each quarter. And the reason for that is because the way this lines up, the way it's spelled out here, January, April, September, December, we have back-to-back meetings in December and January, which seems like, you know, probably more frequent than what we really need to do, especially in the off season. So I would suggest that we just meet each quarter, and I was going to further suggest that we make this our fourth quarter meeting, even though it's September. We'll make this our fourth quarter meeting, and make January our next meeting day would be in January, and that'll be the first quarter meeting, which is when we would be reappointed and conduct, you know, start business for the next year. Is that acceptable to everybody? Yes? Okay. All right. So that's, having said that, then January, what is the fourth Wednesday in January, the date of that?
January the 27th.
So that January 27th is the fourth Wednesday of January. January 27th, right, is the fourth Wednesday. And we may be back in this hangar, or we may be in the EOC, back in our regular home place of the EOC building. We don't know, so we'll let you know what the location will be. And
probably only month is definite then. Do the quarter because of re-election of officers.
Yeah, and Bob will have to go to county council to get those appointments approved. So he has to schedule that in too. But yeah. All right, so that's it. We just need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your hospitality, Eric.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.